Hey, man, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and you're listening to the Beatitudes podcast, episode 35, where we're taking a look at our series on unleashing the power of marriage. So I'm going to take a little, break from walking through the 12 practices in the liturgy of domestic church life, because on Catholic Home, Lisa and I are doing a three-part series on unleashing the power of marriage. And so I wanted to make sure that I was talking to the guys about this same topic as we address this, because this has come up a lot in both Catholic Home, on our radio program, More to Life, and as well as in the pastoral counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com, where we'll often hear, mostly from wives, I mean, this sometimes is reversed where the husband is saying this, but for the most part, it's with wives who will say, you know, I feel guilty trying to raise this concern to my husband, either about how his behavior is affecting the marriage, or, you know, something that I want to work through with him. And he reacts defensively. He's, you know, kind of gets upset with me. He stonewalls me. Have I done something wrong? And in that, and I really encourage you to watch that episode of Catholic Home. It's episode 74 that begins that three-part series on unleashing the power of marriage. And I just wanted to talk kind of man-to-man here about what marriage is for. As men, we have a tendency to think that marriage is there to make us comfortable. You know, our wife is there to take care of us, you know. And if I'm the head of the household, then often that we think that means that, you know, marriage exists so that I could learn to exercise authority or something. Yes, in a sense, but more broadly speaking, all of the sacraments are about healing, right? So every sacrament that Christ instituted, it was intended to heal something, to heal the damage that sin does to us in some specific way. So, for instance, baptism heals the damage that sin did to our ability to be part of God's family and to be considered his sons and daughters. Communion heals the damage that sin did to our ability to enjoy eternal life and to have communion with God and each other in this world. Confession obviously heals the damage that sin does, that our active sin does to our ourselves and our relationships with God and others. And marriage was instituted by Christ to heal the damage that sin does to our ability to love another person the way God wants us to. Most specifically with our bodies. And that doesn't just mean sexually, that does certainly mean that, but it also means in terms of the service that I give, the way I use my body to express love and caretaking and service, making sure that I'm able to do that in a godly way. So when we get married, what we are standing before God and our wife and all of the church and saying is, I know I'm broken. I know I don't know how to love my wife the way God wants me to. And I know that sin has damaged my ability to love my wife the way God wants me to. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life cooperating with the grace of this sacrament to heal whatever stops me from loving my wife and my kids the way God wants me to, and serving my wife and my kids the way God wants me to. So there's an acknowledgement there from day one that I've got work to do. Right? I'm not perfect as I am. I expect to be acknowledging my faults and working to overcome them. That said, it's inevitable, right? That I've got blind spots. You've got blind spots. We all do. You know, our wife has blind spots. And sometimes I'm not going to see that I'm behaving in a way that's destructive to the marriage or pushing my kids away from me. My wife is there. God has given me this woman to prophetically call me on that, you know, to say, hey, Greg, you know, I appreciate that, you know, you're probably not trying to do this, but you're really being a bonehead. You know, you're hurting my feelings, or you're pushing the kids away. You're hurting their feelings. You know, can we look at that? Now, obviously, I would want my wife to approach me as charitably as she knew how and to try to spare my feelings as much as possible. But that's not really the point of marriage. You know, in a healthy marriage, yes, husbands and wives do try to speak to each other charitably and address concerns carefully. But even when they don't, in a healthy, godly marriage, we're willing to hear that. You know, and I think that this touches on at least two of the Beatitudes: the blessed are the dads who are poor in spirit, right? And blessed are the dads who seek righteousness, right? Because in the poor in spirit one, you know, and if you go back and listen to those episodes where I unpacked that Beatitude, it's all about me not knowing what I'm doing, right? Being poor in spirit means acknowledging I have no idea how to live the way God wants me to. I certainly have no idea how to love the way God wants me to. And so I'm willing to learn. You know, I'm wanting God to teach me, and I'm wanting God to teach me directly and through the people he's placed in my life. So I have to be open to that feedback, even when it's hard to hear. And we'll talk about how to receive criticism in a future episode of this. But for now, I just really want to focus on this idea that we as men really need to work hard to get over our defensiveness. You know, a lot of us were raised in households where we were criticized a lot, where we were raised with heavy-handed discipline, where it wasn't safe to be wrong or make mistakes, and that if we did make a mistake or we did do something wrong, we were punished and shamed for it instead of helped to do better. And the way that we were punished or disciplined growing up becomes the way we solve problems in marriage too. And so if we were raised in that more heavy-handed, more shaming way, when our wife comes to us to say, hey, I want to work on this problem in the marriage, we feel this incredible flood of shame that I've screwed up, I've done something wrong. She's accusing me of being a horrible person, of being the worst husband on the planet, of being a terrible father. How dare she? And especially if she doesn't approach us, you know, in that perfect kind of charitable way, using all the right communication formulas, we have a tendency to, especially then, to feel attacked. And then we make it about the way she spoke to me instead of what she's trying to address. And we have to be careful of that, because what we end up doing is pushing our wife away and saying, you know, I'm not interested in hearing your concerns if they have anything to do with me. And that really doesn't just offend my wife. It offends the entire purpose of marriage, which is to help call me on my stuff. It's to help say, hey, Greg, you've got some work to do to learn how to love the way I want you to love. This is God speaking, right? And so you need to be open to doing a self-examination, but also to listening to what your wife and kids tell you about how you're coming across and how your behavior is impacting those relationships. Because that's how we cooperate with the grace of the sacrament of marriage. That's how we cooperate with the healing power that marriage gives. And so as difficult as it is, and as I'm going to talk more about how to receive this criticism, but for now, you know, when your wife comes to you, or even your kids come to you, and they come with a complaint, the first thing you need to do is turn in and pray. All right, Lord, help me to hear what my spouse or what my kids are trying to say to me. You know, even if I need to address the way they're speaking to me at some point, help me start by really trying to hear the concern they're trying to express, the problem they're trying to address, and help me to find a way to come alongside of them and work through this together so that we can have a better relationship. You know, help make me the man, the husband, the father that you want me to be in this moment. And if that can be our prayer, that'll help us take down that emotional temperature and really receive what God is asking us through our spouse and through our children. And yes, you know what? If we have to address the way it was raised, the best way to do that is after that conversation. You know, I don't like the way you came to me with something, right? But I'm going to take that hit. And I'm going to listen to what you're trying to say. And I'm going to try to work through that with you. And then afterward, I'm going to come back and say, hey, I think we worked through that pretty well. So the next time you have a concern, do you think you could bring it up this way? Or do you think that we could, you know, get through it without you going to that place where you called me those names or said those hurtful things or whatever it was? So after the problem is solved, we have the credibility to go back and talk about how we solve the problem better. Because I show you that I have the credibility to say we can work through things and I'm open to working through things with you. So now let's fine-tune our process. But if I address it on the front end, then it comes across like I'm not willing to work on your concern until you approach me exactly the right way, which sends the message that I really don't care what you think, and I don't want to work on any things in the relationship. So just keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that in a future episode. But for now, in this episode of Bedatitudes, I just wanted to introduce that idea of unleashing the power of marriage and what our role, you know, as men in this is to be willing to both be called on our stuff and to charitably call our wife on her stuff, which she's not going to like either. So we'll talk about how to do that in the next episode of Bedatitudes. But I also encourage you to check out the series on Catholic Home Podcast, starting with episode 74 and following. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you've got questions about making this work in your relationship, don't hesitate to post in the Home Builder Forum on Catholic Households on Mission.